shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And in Matthew 1:23, we find the interpretation of Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The setting for this prophecy by Isaiah is one of turmoil in the nation of Israel, one of fear. We find in the first verse of chapter 7 of Isaiah, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved by the wind. The king and all the people of Israel were in great fear and great anxiety because these confederation of Syria and Israel, or Ephraim, as Israel is often called, was coming against them, and they weren't sure what to do. So Ahaz was afraid. His people were afraid of what was going to happen. That God gave Isaiah a message of deliverance to Ahaz. Beginning in verse 3, it says, Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, now and Shazar, Ezra, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of the smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. So Isaiah gives Ahaz a sign, a prophecy from God, that the plans of these two nations will not prevail, that God, who is always in control, will make sure that it does not and will be deliverance. In verses 10 and 11, it says that moreover the Lord spake unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So God offers a sign to Ahaz that this will come to pass, to give him reassurance. But Ahaz, in verse 12, says, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. At first it might sound like this is a good thing that Ahaz is doing, but it's really not, because he's rejecting God's offer of a sign of deliverance. So we find, beginning in verse 13, and he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary then, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Isaiah 7:14, like many prophecies of the Old Testament, had a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. The near fulfillment was to be found in the deliverance of Israel from Syria and the deliverance of Judah from Syria and Ephraim. Isaiah 7:16, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both kings. In the Hebrew, in the prophecy of verse 14, the word is translated virgin is Alma, which in the Hebrew can mean either a virgin or a young woman, depending upon the context. And the Holy Spirit, in guiding Isaiah to use that word, was showing his wisdom, because to have used the word Bethuel, which only means virgin, would not have applied to the near fulfillment. So the word Alma, which can mean, according to context, virgin or young woman, was the proper word to use here, because in the near fulfillment, that woman would be Isaiah's wife. We find in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, and I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Meher-shalah-hadzbaz, for before the child shall have knowledge to say, my father and my mother, the riches of Damascus, and the spirit of Samaria, and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. And we find this is fulfilled in 2 Kings 15:30. And Hosea, the son of Elah, made conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him and slew him and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Isaiah. And in 2 Kings 17:1-3, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hosea the son of Elah to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the king of Assyria, the king of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hosea became his servant and gave him presents. But Hosea then rebelled against the king of Assyria and tried to make an alliance with the king of Egypt. And 2 Kings 17:6 says, in the 9th year of Hosea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Helah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. So we find that the son of Remaliah and Samaria are taken care of as the Lord had prophesied. And in 2 Kings 16:8 and 9, we find it recorded, and Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasure of the king's house and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria went up against Damascus and took it and carried the people of it captive to Kir and slew Rezin. So both those who had conspired against Ahaz and his and Judah, the Rezin and the son of Remaliah, God slew as he gave a prophecy that he would do that. So we find in 2 Kings that God fulfilled the near prophecy exactly as he said it would be fulfilled. And if God was faithful to bring about the near fulfillment of this prophecy, it's only reasonable that he would be faithful to bring about the far fulfillment also. So we find in Matthew 1 and verses 18 through 23, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin," and here in the Greek, it only applies to a virgin, to no one else other than a virgin. A virgin, and also going back to Isaiah 7:14 in the Hebrew, virgin, Alma, has the definite article prefix to it, Ha-Alma, which means the virgin. So it wasn't just any virgin that God picked out from time immemorial, before the foundation of the earth. God had chosen the virgin, Mary, to bring forth his son. So it's all according to God's specific plan. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." We find that the birth of Emmanuel was a virgin birth. Matthew Henry said, "He shall be born of a virgin, which will signify both the divine power and the divine purity with which he shall be brought into the world." Christ's birth showed God's divine power. In Luke, we find in Luke verses 13, beginning of verse 34 of chapter 1, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And it also shows Christ's purity, the purity of the divine. 1 Peter 1:18-19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And again, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21-22, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ, who suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Hebrews 4:15 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we, as we are, yet without sin." So God, Christ in God, as God, was powerful, and he was also holy, pure. So this son of the virgin, he would be God. As Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 9 in verses 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14 he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we find that according to the prophecy, Jesus will be from the line of David. As Isaiah 11:1 says, and there shall come forth a rod of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And of course, David was the son of Jesse. And Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And this child born of the virgin will be spirit-filled. Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And we find in John chapter 1, verses 32 through 34, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And this Son of the Virgin, also the Son of God, will rule the nations. As Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 52 and 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. In Isaiah 11:10 through 12, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 15 of Romans 8 through 12, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to the among the nations, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rule, shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. And Revelation 11:15 says, and the seventh angel said, And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forevermore. Also, this son would be a sacrifice for the sins of his people. And this is why God sent Jesus, to be a man, to be one of us. It shows God is able to understand us and to sympathize with us. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 103:14, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be re-reached with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And it gives an example of how we ought to live in this world. As Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21, for even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Christ, the Son of the Virgin, the Son of God, is an atonement for our sins. As one is written, God became man in Christ, because only one who was both God and man could achieve our salvation. Amen. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us, for all, to be testified in due time. And as another has testified, for the good news is not just that God became man. Rather, the good news is that sin has been dealt with, that Jesus has suffered its penalty for us as our representative, so that we might never have to suffer. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Every sin that we ever committed, every sin we committed before our salvation, every sin we commit after our salvation, Christ bore that in his body, literally, and he literally died for that sin, paid the penalty for that sin. Therefore, we can rest secure in Christ, that we will always be his, we will always be God. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53:3-6, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we find that God sent Jesus, his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this Jesus always will be with us for now and forever. As one is written, we are told that the great God of the universe has become God with us through his incarnation. It is a great thought, but in the closing chapter of the book, we are told not only that God was with us during the 33 or so years of Christ's earthly life, but that as a result of his death and resurrection, he is now to be with us forever. He is with us always in all places equally. The all-powerful Christ will be with us to bless us as we go forth with his gospel, That was the commission that Jesus gave to his disciples in Matthew 28:19-20, a commission and an assurance. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. That'll be it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim.